Please turn in your copies of God's Word to the Gospel of Matthew for our sermon text this morning, Matthew chapter 6. If you remember, we covered the entirety of Matthew 6, 1 through 18 a few weeks ago, and then we went back and did a few sermons on the Lord's Prayer. So now we're picking up where we left off a few weeks ago, starting in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6. As we studied the preceding section, we looked at how there were examples of how our piety could be used and abused to promote ourselves, that we could give to the poor or pray or fast in a way to give glory to ourselves and not to truly worship God. And that was motivated by a fear of man, looking more horizontally rather than vertically to our relationship with God. Then we move from there to look at the provision of the Lord. The provision of the Lord. So let's read this text now. Remember, this is the Word of God. It is an authority for us, and it is necessary and sufficient for salvation. Matthew 6, starting in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. Please pray with me as we go to the author of these words, asking that he would be with us as we seek to understand them. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you communicate with your people. We thank you that this Word is living and active. We ask that it would be effective in convicting us of our sin and comforting us by your promises. Father, we do pray that your Spirit would work among us as we look to these words, that they would be a light unto our path. Father, I do pray that what is sown in my weakness would be raised by the power of your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout this section of God's Word, there's a word that's repeated, and that is seek. What do you seek after? That's not like hide and seek, where you're looking for something. It's more talking about what is it that you value? What is it that you long for? What are your greatest desires? What do you recognize as valuable? contrary to the band Smash Mouth's song, All Star, not all that glitters is gold. Maybe a more reputable cultural voice, Shakespeare, wisely said that all that is gold does not glitter. Even more reputable is the words of our Savior here, who is telling us that the things that we often attribute value to, the treasures that we seek to store up, can be fleeting. And by seeking after these things, by seeking to cling to and pursue and desire with all our heart these things that are fleeting, we will be led to anxiety. We will be consumed with worry of losing the treasures of our heart, losing the things that we think are of true lasting value. The problem with treasuring that which isn't gold, that which isn't lasting, that which isn't of true value, is that you're consumed by fear of losing it. At times in our life, God may allow us to lose good things, good blessings. He might allow us to suffer, to test us. We might fall, we might struggle. Sometimes that's in small ways that we all experience in the daily moments of life, those frustrations and inconveniences where we're reminded that things are just out of our control. Sometimes in more significant ways. Maybe poor health, family issues, family life circumstances, trouble at work. Maybe your safety at times feels threatened. We all experience these things where the things that bring us joy, the blessings of life, where we feel them slipping away. And we're tempted to worry. Can I hold on to all these things? What can I do to maintain the blessings of this life? We ought to ask ourselves, does the glitter of earthly things, even good things like health and work and family, does the glitter, the fleeting nature of these things cause you to worry? Are you grasping for things that you aren't meant to control? Are you trying to hold on to things that aren't lasting or guaranteed? In this text, we're reminded, as we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, we're being instructed, our lives ought to look different from the world. And that we can be at peace even when we go through those times of life where blessing is taken away. Where the good things of this life are removed from us, or where we see them slip away. We are called to not be anxious and to be reminded that the Father is a giving Father. We don't need to be anxious because our Heavenly Father is a giving Father. We first see in this portion of God's Word, in our text, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. And that really bookends the section here, doesn't it? What you value, the things that you seek after, the things that you recognize as valuable, that determines your outlook. Are you going to be worried, or are you going to wait upon the Lord? We are called here to value the things that God is giving to us. And the greatest thing He has given to us, in a summary way, as it's presented here in the text, is the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? There's an already not yet aspect to the kingdom of God. If you are in Christ, you've become a citizen of that kingdom. You hold your residence there. That is where you say you are from and where you're going. You are a kingdom, or a citizen of that kingdom. And we get to experience that when we live like God has set things to live. In Christ, we are able to live as citizens of the kingdom of God. We now have power over sin. We're now able to look like how we were made to look, to do things that we were made to do. That is part of the kingdom of God, but there's also that future expectation, the promise of all things being made right. And we can strive for that now, but we look to the hope of when it will be fully and completely and perfectly. the kingdom of God, both our current life brought into conformity with how God made things to be, and the promise of perfect life. So we are to seek first that kingdom, living like God made us to live, and the future hope. What is the value of that? Why are we to seek after that? Well, as we go through the text, there's analogies given, and I'm just going to go through those quickly to show us the value. It can't be lost. Nothing can take away the kingdom of God from you if you are in Christ. Not by rust or moth, not by a thief, nothing. It is not fleeting. It is lasting. That is valuable. It is a good master. We see the imagery of you can't have two masters. God Himself is your master when you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You're not ruled by things that corrupt or things that disappoint, like money. It satisfies. We close the chapter with all these things will be added unto you. All that we need will be added to us by seeking the kingdom of God. It truly satisfies our needs. It is a gift from the Creator. Just as the birds or the flowers of the field are given what they need, so too we are just given what we need when we are members of the kingdom of God. The lily grows without toil. The lily isn't out there trying to come up with the best strategies on how to grow its petals. It's a gift. We can rest and receive. These things in creation that we take for granted that seem to just be on autopilot, that just seem to just work, we're reminded God is providing for those things. As a good creator, He has made those things to be that way. How much more us? How much more has He designed us to be in a way that will thrive? And when we're brought into that kingdom, can we experience that thriving? What this doesn't mean is that we don't have to work hard, that there's no place for hard work anymore, that there's no place for obedience or striving, that we aren't to pursue good desires, good things. That's not what we're being told in the text. We're still called to put time and effort into our various callings of life. But what we're warned against is seeking those things first, those various callings and opportunities and blessings. They are all opportunities to serve the kingdom of God. Your work, your family life, your friendships, your relationships, your meals, your recreation, the blessings of this life, an end to themselves, they are a false promise. They are fleeting. But when brought into service to the kingdom of God, they're valuable, because the kingdom of God is valuable. We aren't to store up them as treasures at expense of storing up treasures in heaven. But we bring them into service to God. And what a blessing it is that in serving God and in living as citizens of the kingdom of God, that is good for our current callings. There's a good and a blessing when we're living as if we're citizens of heaven to our earthly work. We're to value the kingdom of God above all else, and our earthly experiences, our current circumstances, will be blessed by that. So seek first the kingdom of God. Second, don't be anxious for the kingdom of earth. As we're reminded to value the kingdom of God above all else, we're then told, don't be anxious. Don't worry about your needs in this life. Don't be anxious. That is easier said than done. If you were to come to me and you were to say, Pastor, I'm struggling with anxiety, or maybe you've had the experience where your spouse is worrying, and you just say, just don't do that. Don't be anxious. I know what you need. You're anxious, so stop. That's not very helpful, is it? How is this text more than that? How is Christ here giving us more than just stop it? Keith Evans, the professor of biblical counseling at the Reformed Presbyterian Seminary, when he writes about this, he points to the parallel passage in Luke 12. In that parallel account, it's very similar, but it includes this phrase, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This is how we can turn from anxiety. This is how we are empowered by the Spirit to not worry. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The God who made all things, the God who needs nothing, He delights in giving us the kingdom of God. And He is our shepherd, our caregiver. If He will give us the kingdom of God, citizenship in that eternal kingdom where all is made right, paradise itself, how much more will He care for our daily needs? How much more do we need to worry for what tomorrow will bring? Because this is our Father's pleasure, we do not have to be anxious. Everything will be ours. It will all be worth it. A couple hours after our daughter was born, our daughter Palisade, she began to choke on something in her throat. So there's something blocking her airway. And patting her on the back, she was trying to just work it out, and she began to turn blue. And a nurse ran over and quickly cleared everything. It was all fine. She worked it out. She was fine. But after that moment, the joy and thrill of having a daughter quickly fled. That was gone. And I was just consumed by anxiety. This little gift is fragile. And for the next couple of days, I had no appetite. I could barely sleep. I was just consumed with that anxiety. And after a while, I realized this is not sustainable. I can't be a husband or a father living like this. And I realized I was trying to be to Palisade what only God can be to Palisade. I couldn't control whether she would wake up the next morning, whether she would have all of her needs met. And I needed to let go. There's an illustration of this where we sometimes try to hold on to the gifts God has given us like this, just clutching at them as best we can, consumed with fear that they might be lost. But we're called to hold on to the things God's give us like this. We hold them up, we work, we strive, we seek to support and to love, but they could be taken away, and we are to willingly hold them like this. The thing that gives us confidence to do that and strength to do that, the ability to hold the blessings of this life with an open hand, is that we know that God is holding on to us and all of His creation like this. With great care, with perfect power and purpose. Because it is His pleasure to give us the kingdom, we can have confidence that we need not worry. Everything is in His control. It is all in His hands, and He delights in our good. The gospel welcomes us to a hopeful realism. That's a phrase that Paul Tripp uses, hopeful realism. Our eyes are on the end of the story. It's all going to be worth it because of the promises of God. All of the suffering, all of the moments we experience in this life, even the very tragic and horrible moments, they all are a step towards that goal, where the kingdom of God is publicly realized, where Christ returns and all is made right. You can think of a difficult hike maybe you've been on, where you go on the hike and it's hard and you don't know if you're going to make it to the peak. But once you get there, you're thankful for the effort that it took. The views are that much more wonderful because you know how hard it was to get there. Not that we're striving in our own strength to the end, to eternal salvation, but we recognize that there is good and value in going through difficult things. And God is perfect in His wisdom in allowing us to go through difficult things. But they're not in vain, because it's His pleasure to give us the kingdom. We can face life's problems with a realism, knowing problems will come. Christianity does not guarantee an easy life with earthly comforts. Problems will come, but we have hope. We have great, real hope. As we face life's problems, we look to the end. If you seek first the things of this world, if you're consumed by fear of losing the things of this world, you have reason to worry. You have cause to worry, because your heart is here in this life. And this world will not be enough. It won't satisfy. It won't give you what you need. It cannot deliver on what it promises. And if your eye can't tell the difference, if it confuses glitter for gold, then your life will be filled with darkness. But when we seek the kingdom of God, we are filled with light. If you are not a Christian, if you have not sought Christ and placed your faith in Him, if you are not a citizen of His kingdom, recognizing Him as King, then you have reason to fear. You have reason to be anxious. But it's not too late. The God who made all things desires to give His kingdom to those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. You can find rest and peace in Him and in Him alone. Nothing else will grant peace that turns away anxiety. Repent and believe that you may find peace. What do you seek? What do you value? These are the keys to responding to worry in life. And so we are, thirdly, to receive this gift. Receive the kingdom of God. Our Father knows all our needs, and it is His pleasure to give us the very kingdom of God, our greatest need, reconciliation with Him, life itself. Do you believe that? Then take comfort in your need, because He will provide. It may not be provided to you how you want. It may not look how you like it to. It may not be on your terms and in your timing. But it will be for your good and to His glory. Just as a shepherd acts for the good of the sheep and a father for his children, so too the God, the one true God, acts on your behalf. 1 Peter says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. He's not distant. He's not blind. He's not turning away. He cares for you. So cast your anxiety upon Him. Do not fear, little lambs. Take courage. Rest. Be at peace. The kingdom of God will be given to you. Seek that. Value that. Prize that. May that be our desire as we wait upon the Lord. And you can't attain it on your own. As we move towards the celebration of the Lord's Supper, we recognize our need and the need for a sacrifice. We can't earn this kingdom. We are sinners. We have rejected our King. We've sought to be our own kings and live how we want to live. We rebel against God. We need that gift that we cannot earn. And why would He give that gift to us? How can He give it to me, a sinner? It is because and by Christ, that sacrificial lamb, that shepherd of the sheep. He came to take your place, to live on your behalf, that the wrath that you deserve be poured out upon Him, and His perfect obedience be placed upon you, that we may be given the kingdom of God. That is a wonderful inheritance. That is a great treasure. It is God Himself. and we get to commune with Him, a seat at His table. Faith is a receiving of that gift. Recognizing we can do nothing in ourselves, and we ask, and it is given. The Lord's Supper is a taste, a real experience of that kingdom of God. A means of grace to give us strength for this life, to turn from anxiety, to wait upon the Lord. It's part of that down payment from God as we look forward to that great and final feast, that eternal feast, perfect and fully realized relationship with God. We have the resurrected Christ. We get to experience Him viscerally here at the table. This is our hope. Our flesh may fail. We may suffer. We may go through hard times, but we are not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. We do not lose heart. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Do not be anxious. Seek first the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your good gifts. We thank You for how You meet each of our needs, our earthly needs, and You have given us so much far beyond what we deserve. Father, help us to look to the greatest gift You have given us, Your Son, who came willingly to sacrifice Himself on the cross to pay for our sins, that we may have life in You. A life that is abundant with blessing and joy. Thank You, Father, for these reminders from Your Word. May Your Spirit work them into our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.